touch me, he dies. If you're not in the air in 30 seconds, he dies. If you come back in, he dies.
I'm ready to talk.
19. 18.
What do you want?
17. 16.
Let's go. Let's go.
Want a president's finger with a ring on it? I get you a president's finger with a ring on it. I get you a president's finger with a ring on it in 10 minutes. It's funny because, you know, I went on a road trip with my dad and brother.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about John Goodman for some reason. In that movie where Denzel Washington landed that plane upside down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that movie?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
He was all drunk. Denzel Washington was supposed to go to court, but he was all drunk and everything. And to, like, fix him, like, straighten him up for court, like, they called in John Goodman. He had, like, a big suitcase full of drugs. That's funny. Anyway. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
Except that you should be John Goodman.
Except that I should be John Goodman. Hey, we had to hurry up and start recording because funny stuff was starting to come out of our mouths and we couldn't stop it.
Uh-huh.
So if it sounds a little hurried this week, like if it sounds like we weren't quite ready, you know, kind of like... You get on a bus and you're walking down the aisle looking for a good seat and the bus starts, but you weren't quite ready. You like do that little stumble thing and then you try to look cool.
Yeah, that's right. You try to make it like part of your walk.
Yeah, right. I bet that's how the brothers started their walk. Like it was from getting on a bus. Well, like, whoa, hey, man. I meant to do that.
Well, they got to walk all the way to the back, so they might as well get some rehearsal in.
Dog,
I meant in the
did it. Oh,
I meant in the past. I had a friend who was trying out for like.
Thanks for clarifying that.
What was the right? What was that show that Ed McMahon did where like you could like.
The Tonight Show?
No, the one where, like, you could, like, go on there and be talented and win stuff. You know, it was like a precursor to,
Star
like...
Star Search.
Yeah, Star Search. Well, a buddy of mine, years ago, was... him and his buddies got together and were putting a dance troupe together. And he told me if he makes it that far, if he's dancing and he falls down, he's going to get up and do it again so that it looks like part of the dance move.
Right?
He didn't make it to Star Search. But
the talented and well-liked Dick Gregory recently died. And he was a proud man of color. And one of his jokes was, "Hey, I don't know why we're complaining about sitting at the back of the bus." He's like, "Whenever there's an accident, I mean, when a bus gets in an accident, people in the back never are the ones that die. It's always the one in the front." Like, it's a good point. I don't think a white man can make that joke, to be honest with you.
No. All we had if you sat in the back of the bus on the way to school, if you hit the bump, you got to be the one that jumped the highest. and not hit your head.
Right.
I think John Tunstall hit his head once because he was so small. Just carried him aloft.
Well, he'll be missed. So, as I was saying earlier, we may not have started recording yet, but I took a road trip with my father and my brother recently.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad just turned 80. And hey,
it's getting hard to tell you three apart, by the way. Just those pictures. I saw the pictures.
No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that, man.
I'm just saying.
My dad looks like George Jones.
Your dad is a handsome son of a bitch. So
he's a good-looking dude.
Yes, he is.
And my brother,
yes,
well,
he is.
My dad's a good-looking son of a bitch. My brother, well, he's also a son of a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. We love you, Michael. I know that you and I joked a little bit about this trip and how, you know, some of our trips in the past have been a little stressful, the three of us.
Mm.
But I kind of wish that I don't know, some people don't want to grow up. I wish I had grown up much sooner because nothing really bothers me that much anymore, you know? And it,
that's good.
I just look for reasons to relax and have fun. And we had a great time. It was a really good time. I mean, we talked about everything. We laughed, we joked, we didn't cry. I almost cried once because I was talking about Simone, wanting to, like, we moved 2 years ago. Right. And now like her thing is, mm-hmm. I want to go back to our old place. And one day she goes,
oh yeah.
I want to go home. I'm like, ah, just knife in the heart, right? Anyway, but we had a good time. We had a good time. We saw some history. We learned some things that I never knew before. The trip to Louisville was fun. So we had a good time. We had a good time. Well, so,
like, what did you learn that you didn't know before? I mean, is that like family stuff or history or what?
No, it was history. We went to Corydon, Indiana, which was the first state capital of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered why in the hell they chose, because Corydon's like pretty much on the river, like the Ohio River. It's just a few miles from the Kentucky border. And I always thought, well, what were they... Why did they do that, right?
Right.
And no wonder they moved it to Indianapolis. Well, Indianapolis was built to be the capital. There was no city here before.
Oh, okay. It was like determined that it was going to be the capital.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably why it's like almost dead center.
And it's right at the confluence of two rivers. And, you know, it's designed... with the central circle and the grid, and it's similar to Washington, D.C. in that way. So, but I was still left with, well, why did you pick Corydon in the first place? You know, well, when this is the thing I didn't know, when Indiana became a state, there were only like 13 or 50, 30, mm-hmm. no, wait, somewhere between 13 and 20 counties in Indiana. There are 99 now. And only the bottom third of the state was really settled. And so the northern two-thirds of the state was all Indian territory and not settled country. So the mm-hmm. center of the state was really not too far away from Corydon, you know? And it was only when they said, hey, we're going to grow, we're going to, you know, we're going to make deals with Indians and then renege on those deals and like trick them into letting us have their stuff. We should put the capital toward the center of what will eventually be our state after we get done taking care of these Aboriginal peoples. So I learned that. That was exciting. One of the running jokes was, okay, first of all, my dad does nothing but watch Fox News and Gunsmoke.
Well, let's see. Your dad is over 70.
Yeah.
And yeah. Which, yeah, that's a prerequisite.
It's weird because he's a lifelong Democrat.
Did you say Gunsmoke?
Yeah.
And, dude, that's my dad.
And Wagon Train and The Rifleman. And,
yep.
Well, yep. Look. So we toured the only Civil War battlefield in Indiana, which calling it a battlefield is sort of like calling a mosquito like a condor. But that was horrible. Yeah. That was horrible. Calling it a battlefield.
It was calling it a battlefield in the most academic sense of the word.
Yeah, there was fighting.
They were round and made of rubber.
Some people did shoot some weapons. But anyway, we toured it, and the tour guide, like, we got to talking to him. He'd only been there 2 months. He's like, yeah, I retired back in, I was 62. I retired. He's like, that was 3 years ago. And I kind of got tired of just sitting around watching, you know, Wagon Train. And my dad goes, Gunsmoke? He's like, yeah, Gunsmoke. and you know, Fox News. And I was like, oh, my God. They're all doing it. Oh, you got to admit, Fox News is good at what they do, man. And what they do is get you to watch.
Yeah. Yep.
So the so we're in the hotel room, and we got Fox News on the whole time. And all they're talking about is this hurricane down in Texas. There was this hurricane named Harvey, right? So the whole weekend, every time there would be a little bit of silence, somebody would go, come on out of there, Harvey. I know you're in there, Harvey.
It's kind of hard not to do that one.
I know, right? Come on out of there, Harvey. For those of you that don't know... That's a line from a Honeymooners episode. Ralph thought his wife was having an affair with a guy named Harvey.
I think we've referenced it once or twice on the show.
Come on out of there, Harvey. Yeah, we thought it was funny. And we talked about Trump. My dad is it appeared to me as though he is somewhat of a Trump supporter. So we didn't get into it all that much. He also brought up the taking down of the Confederate statues and stuff. He's like, "Whoa, we're just taking down history." So the joke was like, anytime we'd be looking at something historical, one of us would go, "Well, I wonder when they're going to take this down." Like in Corydon, there's this tree. Apparently, when they wrote the Indiana Constitution, they were in this log cabin and it was too hot. So they're like, let's go write the Constitution under that tree over there. And they call it the Constitution Elm. There's an elm tree, wrote the Constitution under that tree. Well, most of the tree is, well, the tree is like dead, right? It's been dead for 100 years. But they did save like the central trunk of the tree.
At least since like Dutch elm disease had, when Dutch elm's disease struck through here,
Damn Germans. Anyway. So the trunk itself is sitting there, and they built this like
shit
monument around it. And of course, I was like, "We should take this down." I bet some of those guys knew some people who had ancestors that owned slaves. It was too funny. That having been said, I chose the headlines for this week. I know this is early. We normally don't do them this early, but I chose them.
We're on a roll of not doing things like we used to do.
That's true.
The past couple episodes. So
that is true.
So let's just keep going with it.
I chose them with some of these topics in mind.
Okay.
So would you like to do headlines, or did you have something else you wanted to say?
No, man. All I was gonna say was, it just proves that this show has a life of its own. We just kind of show up, you know. It's like we were doing it one way for so long, and then it's like, well, let's change it up. But we didn't consciously sit down and change it up. It just happened,
right?
So,
Yeah, it just kind of does what it does. This show do what it do.
We're just here, you know, to make sure the lights get turned off when they leave.
Come on out of there, Harvey.
I'm going to find that sound bite.
Speaking of Harvey, so this first headline comes to us from the Washington Post. Residents warned to get out or die as Harvey unleashes new waves of punishing rains and flooding. This is interesting to me because, you know, we talked about statistics last week, and so our listeners are now well-versed in statistics.
We do what we can.
So far, you know, this Harvey storm has killed 22 people. Let's put it this way. 22 deaths have been attributed to the storm. In a city, right. The city of Houston and its surrounding suburbs, counties, whatever, it's like 3 or 4 million people. All right. So.
Yeah, it's big.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to go 22 divided by, let's call it 4 million. Four. How many zeros? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 equals. So that is, and we'll multiply that by 100. That is a 0.00055% chance that if you live in that area, that you will be killed by that hurricane. Now, let's assume that half the people evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
That only doubles your chances. Like if you're one of the people that didn't evacuate, that doubles your chances. So that's 0.001% chance of dying. So apparently the officials are going, all right, if you don't evacuate, you're going to die. How come they didn't say you have a 0.001% chance of dying if you don't evacuate?
Maybe by that stern warning is why the statistic is so low.
1/1,000. I mean,
they figure, well, but by, you know, by what? It's like, is the hurricane going to get us? What's going to get us?
Well, I think they're going to send troops out. They activated the National Guard. I think they're going to go around shooting people. They'll be like, well,
because that's how you save people. Hey, well, you're supposed to be out here days ago. Bang. You had your chance.
If the goal is to keep them from being killed by the hurricane, I mean, what better way?
That's true. It's me or the hurricane.
It's
sorry.
A proactive. You know, everybody talks about being proactive. That's all they're doing.
I like the one meme I saw this morning, or meme, that had, like, it showed, like, 8 lanes of, like, interstate traffic, and, like, 4 of them are all clogged and going this way, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this other side is completely empty except this one car going the other way, and it says, forgot my charger.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Pretty funny.
I like that.
I don't think it was from Harvey. I think it's been around a while, but it's the first time I've seen it.
Don't forget your charger, Harvey.
That's right. Harvey. Come on out of there, Harvey.
I know. Like when you're sitting around coming up with names for these things, why not, like, it had to be an H. I was going to say Jorge, but Jorge starts with a J.
Jorge. Yeah.
How about Hermando? That starts with an H, right?
What gender does the storm identify with?
We don't want to trigger people by, you know, these people that are going to die if they don't get out. We don't want to trigger them.
That's right.
But if you do not let us have this table, I am going in and tell my friend Harvey.
Harvey?
Oh, Harvey! You're going to tell your friend Harvey? Harvey!
He's going to tell Harvey.
That's a nice name. I like
that. Not a nice name,
that's
Harvey.
A nice name, Harvey.
I don't care if you tell Harvey. Go ahead and tell him. He's got me mighty scared. I'm shaking a debt.
You better be careful. My friend is even bigger than me.
Your friend Harvey is bigger than you? I have a friend Shirley that's bigger than you. Very lucky. Very lucky.
This is my friend Harvey.
I told you, you're not going to get the table. Now go away. Come on, Martin, will you? And you beat it too, Harvey. Hey, Ralph, he's even bigger than your friend Shirley. I got an idea those bookends are going to be a little lopsided.
What are you talking about, bookends?
He said he was going to twist me and you into bookends.
Oh, he did, huh? So you're going to twist me and him into bookends.
That's right. He's going to twist you and him into bookends. You got nothing to worry about, Ralph. You're in the right. Nobody can push you around.
Why don't you shut up?
That's not all he said. He made fun of your name. He said Harvey was a funny name.
Oh, he did, huh?
Harvey's a lovely name.
So Harvey's a funny name. You're a real wise guy, huh? I don't like wise guys. You know what I might do to you? I might punch you right in the mouth.
Hey, now, wait. Just a minute. You can't talk to us that way.
You keep out of this.
What are you yelling at me for? I wasn't the one that said I'd twist you into a pretzel. He did.
So you're going to twist me into a pretzel, huh?
I don't even like pretzels. But
you hear that, George? He's going to twist me into a pretzel. All right, wise guy. I'll give you a chance. Come on, step outside.
Well, Ralph, I'll hold your coat. Why don't you shut up?
Come on, wise guy. Step outside and twist me into a pretzel.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I don't watch more.
It's because the reason why you don't have to is because it is so ingrained in our person of who we are. It's practically in our DNA.
He said you have a funny name.
It's like, you know how it is when, like, speaking of triggers, somebody will say something. I'm sure this happens to you all the time, where, like, your wife will say something and you just go off on a tangent from, like, a movie or something, and she'll just look at you like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know?
Yeah.
It's just, the honeymooners are that ingrained in our DNA.
My brother and I were doing that all weekend, and my dad just, he finally goes, where do you guys come up with these things?
He's too busy thinking of Gunsmoke.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if you used to walk along like Dennis Weaver when he was on Gunsmoke, your dad would be like, that's funny right there.
Oh, man. This next one is for Superfan James. And we might have to have him on to do a follow-up to this headline. This is from, I don't know how to pronounce this, Kotaku. And the headline is
Gesundheit.
Nintendo announces a bunch of cool indie games for Switch. Indie spelled I-N-D-I-E.
Right.
You wouldn't believe when I first moved to Indianapolis, you know, one of the nicknames for Indianapolis is indie.
Mm-hmm.
And people would talk about indie music all the time. And I thought, how have I lived my whole life and I didn't know there was a whole genre of music from Indianapolis called indie music? And I started noticing it was spelled I-N-D-I-E. And I was like, why are they spelling it weird like that? It took me a minute to figure out that I was being an idiot.
Right. Well, that was years ago. I was in Columbus, Ohio at a comic book convention. Ironically, an indie comic convention. And there was a lady there, and she had all of her stuff laid out. And she had the big, like, city flag for, like, Valparaiso behind her. And I looked at it. I'm like, so you're from Valpo? And she looked at me, and she's like, you know how I know what you're talking about? I'm like, no, how? Because you call Valparaiso Valpo. I'm like, yeah, that's where I buy my comics, because there's a store there. So it was just all of a sudden some dude from Indiana goes, are you from Valpo? Like, in Columbus, apparently, they say Valparaiso. So.
Weird.
Yeah.
That is a funny thing. There are just some things that, like, you know, you were talking about the honeymooners, and it's ingrained in our DNA. Mm-hmm. There are just some things that don't seem weird until you take it out of context or geographically somewhere else. Like, Valpo. Who in the hell would... Well, first of all, the Valparaiso men's basketball team has gained some notoriety because they've had some level of success. And so it says Valpo on their jerseys. So I think maybe that's become more of a thing among people who follow the National Collegiate Athletic Association men's basketball.
What's the name of their team?
The Valparaiso... the Valpo, the Gamecocks. Oh,
Valpo Gamecocks.
Do you know?
No. I was just going to do a shout out like, woo, you know, like we knew what the fuck we were talking about.
Actually, their website is valpo.edu.
Hmm.
They are, hang on. Oh, they're a Lutheran institution.
Yeah.
Realize they
yeah, that much I religious? That much I kind of knew they were Luthers.
Wonder if they opened their doors to the flooding victims.
Hey, all right now.
Their motto is "In luce tua vendimus lucem."
Ooh. You kissed your mother with that mouth?
Which is Latin for the region. Division goal. Crusaders.
Oh.
Perfect.
All right, go.
Wonder if there are any Muslims going there.
Dude, I bet there are. That's hysterical.
Their sister school in Baghdad is called University of Muhammad, and it's the jihadists.
The University of Muhammad. Is that Muhammad Ali or Muhammad?
Yes. That's the other thing I was reminded. Muhammad Ali's from Louisville.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah. He was a hillbilly.
Crazy. I just think that's crazy. And I had forgotten about that. I'm walking around Louisville and I was like, they have all this Muhammad Ali stuff. And I was like, is boxing a big thing in Louisville? Like, how did Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of our time, How is he from Louisville? You know? Why not Philadelphia? Everybody knows Philadelphia is a big boxing town. Right? I mean, I saw Rocky.
That's right.
Anyway, back to the Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
Apparently, I'm kind of prophetic because I saw that the Nintendo Switch was going to be a big deal. And now they apparently have a bunch of cool indie games for the Switch.
It will be interesting to find out his take on that because on Monday mornings or Mondays during the summer, I was running a D&D campaign with a bunch of teenage, high school boys, and they're all tech nerds. They're like huge tech nerds, and they were all just blasting the Switch like left and right. So I mean, I'm even surprised it's still even a thing. So maybe this is how they're planned for keeping it, around. I don't know. Be interesting to hear what he thinks about it.
Do you think if I think I know the answer to this question, but let me see what you think. If we were kids now, would we be? Mm-hmm. Like totally into online gaming and like tech nerds and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I seriously think we would. I think we would be totally into it, but we would be into it on the level that like our parents could afford. So we'd be like kind of half-assed. Our stuff would be Frankenstein. We'd be totally just like piecing it together. But yeah, I think we'd be totally. Well, but then I don't know because we weren't AV nerds and AV nerds when we were their age. Is the equivalent of what they are now. So I don't know.
Well, the first part of what you said is are the part 1A of what you just said. If I were to outline what you just said, the Roman numeral 1 with the A, mm-hmm. about the what our parents could afford, that's mm-hmm. the thought that popped in my head. Like, my first thought was, oh, we totally would have been those guys. And then immediately I thought, well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure our parents could afford that stuff. Maybe we would have gotten jobs or something to pay for it, but you're totally right. I mean, we would have tried the best we mm-hmm. could. We would have done what we could with what we had, but the AV thing, by the way, one of my dad's cousins named AV way before that was an actual thing. Interesting. The only thing I remember about AV was, first of all, he had that bouffant haircut, which all my uncles and everybody did. Second, I thought he was the coolest guy because he was funny and he laughed, had a funny... Oh, wait, you meant the other AV, didn't you? You didn't mean my dad's cousin, AV. All right. Well,
who apparently had his own fan club.
Yeah, and I was in it. The... AV nerds, when we were in school, weren't those just the guys that knew how to work the projector?
Yeah, that's all it was. But if you extrapolate that to the current technology that is in schools now, they would be the computer guys. Because nothing, there's no projectors. It's all, you know, digital stuff. So they would still be the nerds.
If you and I had been born about 6 years later, maybe eight years later, we would have been into, like if we could have gotten our hands on a camcorder
mm-hmm.
with VHS and all that stuff, we would have been making like little films and stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is my brother-in-law is about 8 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was totally into all that when he was a teenager, but we didn't have that. Right. We didn't have VHS. We didn't have camcorders. My uncle had like one of those 8mm, but mm-hmm. I could never get my hands on it. But Jason Crane and I had all these ideas for movies we'd make. And I was like, oh, my uncle has a thing. I'll get it. And then we could do this. And then we could smoke those cigarettes you stole from your dad that you buried in the woods. Maybe I could find some beers.
Because nothing was worse. Nothing was worse than getting an ass whooping for getting caught smoking a cigarette. That was instant death. Well, my little brother and I and some of our friends, we did like audio recordings. We'd do like audio plays because we had, with, you know, my mom, she was the head librarian over at the elementary school. So we had access to all like the recording equipment, but Springfield had no decent recording equipment. We had plenty of audio stuff to mess around with, so we played around with that, you know. But no video. Video was because they were radio plays, you know.
I had that tape recorder. Remember, we were listening mm-hmm. to Red Fox on it. we got a cassette of Red Fox. He's like, you guys name a celebrity and I'll tell you whether or not they're gay. Errol Flynn, fag. Clark Gable, fag. Red Fox, lesbian. And if my mom is vacuuming, I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what is he talking about? What is that?
For those who don't know, Red Fox is past the Apple Eve. It is the funniest part of the entire performance. And we were trying so hard not to laugh when your mom was in the room. So,
oh my God, that was like, and we're just looking at each other like, what is that? I don't even know what that means. Do you know what that means? I don't know what that means. I don't know what it, and the funny thing is, I'll bet she didn't know what it meant. He's one of those actors, like, you know him as TV's Fred Sanford,
right?
But on TV, they couldn't cuss and do blue, as they say in the business.
Yeah.
But he did blue.
Oh,
when he got the chance.
I highly recommend anybody within the sound of my voice go on YouTube and look up like Red Fox stand-up. There's like Pass the Apple Eve. You got to wash your ass is another one. He was the Black Don Rickles. He was so damn funny that you have to listen to this stuff, because this stuff was Richard Pryor was great, but Red Fox was like a trailblazer for this shit.
Funny man, funny man. So should we take a break, and then I have one more headline, which I don't think we have time to get into before the break. But I will. I'll tease it, just so people will stick around through the break. It's the topic is Game of Thrones.
Oh,
so if you watch that show, little show called Game of Thrones, might want to stick around because you'll get our take on the latest.
See, now that's how you make me leave that shit in the show.
Carl Stokes, the black mayor of Cleveland, was in the White House when the Johnson administration was still in office. And he was standing there in the toilet. And President Johnson walked in and stood beside him. And being quite a bit taller than Carl, the president looked down at Carl and said, Carl, I want to commend you on the wonderful job you're doing down there in He said, God damn, fellow American. How'd you get something like that? Carl Stokes said, Mr. President, just before I have sex, I beat it on the bedpost 4 times. President Johnson said, well, hell, I'm going to try that tonight when I get home. President got home, took a shower, walked in the bedroom, beat it on the bedpost 4 times. Lady Bird woke up, said, is that you, Carl?
And he'll tell her he's working late again, but she knew too well there's something going on. She's been neglected, and she need a friend. So her trembling fingers dial the telephone. Lord, it hurts her doing this again. He's the best friend that a husband ever knew. And she's lonely. He's more than just a friend. He's the one she longed to give her body to. Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, hoping no one else discover where they go, what they do, in their secret hideaway. Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, one don't wanna hurt the other, so they love in the nighttime. They shake hands in the light of day. But when it's over, there's no peace of mind, just a longing for the way things should have been. And she wondered why some men never find that a woman needs a lover and a friend. Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, hoping no one else discover where they go, what they do, in their secret hideaway. Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, one don't wanna hurt the other, so they love in the nighttime and shake hands in the light of day. Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, hoping no one else discover where they go, what they do, in their secret hideaway. Daytime friends and nighttime lovers, one don't want to hurt the other, so they love in the nighttime, they shake hands in the light of day. Daytime friends, nighttime lovers. Daytime friends, nighttime lovers. Daytime friends.
So there's this sound effect used in many, many movies. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Wilhelm Scream.
Yeah, it's in everything.
Yeah. So that was the YouTube rabbit hole I went down when I was supposed to be calling you to record the show. Because I never heard of it before, and now I will never be able to unhear it.
And you know, I listened to the Triforce podcast, and one of the guys in there was talking about it. And he was talking about how at first it was cool. And he's dead spot on with this. At first it was cool, but now it's so commonplace that when you hear it, it takes you out of the scene that you're watching.
That's funny.
And it's too much. Just stop with it now.
Well, it's funny that you should say that. Because
well, I didn't say it, he did.
As you know, I follow Cracked, the Mazagine, Cracked.com. Yes.
For all your hard hitting news.
For all my hard hitting news.
Cracked is great.
Yeah, and they had a contest for like memes, like you know, create a meme for shit that pulls you out of a scene or pulls you out of the suspended belief, you know, the reality of a movie. And the one that won was a meme that said, Dear Hollywood, we get it. You love the Wilhelm Scream. It was cool 20 years ago, but now it just ruins every scene that it's in. It was an inside joke. So I pop over to this other YouTube thing and the guy's explaining it, and it started out as an inside joke in film school. And one of the guys who was like doing the joke in film school went on to be the sound guy for Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., and it just went from there. So it's in Toy Story. Mm-hmm. It's just in everything.
I was watching the Warcraft movie today, and it was in the Warcraft movie. It's like, really? And it was absolutely true. As soon as it happened, for like it took me about 30 seconds to get back into the movie, and by then it moved on to something else, and I was kind of lost. It's just stop.
It's a weird thing. I mean, what makes people want to, you know, what makes them want to continue to do that?
I'm not sure. I think it's like brand identification, you know. It's like we want to appear clever, so we put it in there. That's it.
Oh, here's the B-movie trailer, but all screaming.
I think if you have
misunderstood them and feared them. Now, one bee in a turtleneck sweater is going to change everything.
These are winter bees.
Why does his life have any less value than yours?
This fall,
I gotta say something.
You like jazz?
You're talking to humans. You're flying outside the hive.
Barry B. Benson.
So you see soda spilled on a sidewalk and you don't drink it?
Is a little bee.
He's not bothering anybody. Get out of here, you two.
discovering a big secret.
How did this get here?
This is Honeyberry.
This is stealing. QB. Golden Blossom. Ray Liotta Private Select. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
You have a plan?
Yes, plan.
Ah! He's brave.
Ah! Where'd you get the honey? It's ours now.
He's bold.
This can't possibly work. Okay, Barry, pull the chute.
Ah! He's reaching new heights.
What happened?
I just tried to talk to these guys. Huh? Then there was a dustbuster, a two-power rifle, one's bald, one's in a boat, and they're both unconscious.
Jerry Seinfeld, Renee Zellweger. DreamWorks B-Movie.
I hate YouTube. Oh, my God.
Dude, you know I'm putting that at the very end of the show, right?
Yeah. Usually on YouTube, usually on Wednesday, I can't do this tonight because I'm tired and I need to get to bed. But usually after we get done recording, I just go into YouTube purgatory. I'm just
that's kind of what I do, yeah.
Now I'll look at this. Now I'll watch that. Then the next thing you know, it's like 3 a.m. I'm like, oh my God, it's late. Anyway. So, Wilhelm, he'll be missed.
So Hollywood, enough with the Wilhelm scream.
Exactly. Speaking of Hollywood and things I've had enough of, this next headline comes from the New York Times. Game of Thrones, Isaac Hempstead Wright on Bran's powers and ties to the Night King.
I literally have no idea what you just said. I
feel the same way, man. Spoiler alert.
I'm so out of the loop.
Anybody that watches Game of Thrones, if you're not caught up, spoiler alert, Bran and the Night King, same person.
I'm familiar with the Night King because a friend of mine posted a video of the actor who plays the Night King, like doing some kind of silly dance or something. But other than that, no, we're the only two people in the world. I think my mom watches Game of Thrones. We're the only two people in the world who don't watch Game of Thrones.
So the truth of the matter is, I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. I just made it up. So I don't know if Bran and the Night King are the same person. I don't even know if the Night King's a person. I don't even know what Bran is other than like Raisin Bran. But anyway. Yeah, you know, it's a weird thing. My brother started watching it, apparently, and he was asking me if I was watching it, and I was like, nah, I haven't seen any of it, any episode. So, Eddie, we got on the topic of World War One, and I was talking about...
as you want to do.
As I seem to do a lot. I don't know. I'm fascinated by World War One. So I talked a lot about, you know, so I went over like World War One and how the U.S., like one of the things that drove the U.S. to choose sides was the fact that like everybody owed the U.S. money because we were the only ones with any money by the end of the war. And we kind of looked at it and said, well, we want to get paid back. And so we got to figure out who's going to win and help them win. Because, yeah. You know, we want to make sure we get paid.
Yeah, who's going to be able to pay us back?
So my brother, just to finish that thought, goes, sure. That's sort of like the Game of Thrones. That's kind of what's going on there. I was like, oh, okay.
Funny thing about Game of Thrones. There was a comedian years ago, and he had this joke about the game. It doesn't matter what game it is. If your friend tells you, hey, Bob, did you watch the game? Did you catch the game last night? Did you see the game? They will just completely, like, rip you to shreds for not watching it because you're less of a man if you didn't watch. He's like, it could have been the Newlywed game. I don't know what it was. So I had to come up with, like, something that was more, what could be more masculine than watching the game. And he goes, hey, Bob, did you watch the game? No, man, I'm sorry. I was too busy. I didn't catch the game. I was too busy putting a transmission in a stripper's car.
Stripper's car.
When you tell people you don't watch the Game of the Thrones.
The Game of the Thrones.
They shame you. They try to flat out shame you into like, why? Why? What? Why? Why don't? What's wrong with you? And what happened with me, my experience with Game of Thrones was, I got about halfway through season one. I think they're on like season 11 now. I got like halfway through season one and I went, this is fucking boring. No amount of tits is going to make me stick around for this. I was bored out of my mind. Well, as soon as I announced that, my hardcore Game of Thrones fans were like, no, you have to give it, you have to give it a couple of seasons. I'm like, no, I don't. If you can't hook me in some way, shape, or form, and usually boobs will do it, if you can't hook me from within the first 5 minutes, I'm moving on. I don't get Game of Thrones, and we'll probably lose so much cred because we don't get Game of Thrones.
Well, I'm not going to say I don't get it. I just haven't watched it.
I just don't get it.
I probably would get it if I watched it. Because we were talking at a dinner, a work mm-hmm. dinner, a couple mm-hmm. of colleagues and our wives. And one of the wives says, you know, hey, who's watching Game of Thrones? I finally gave in to the peer pressure. All my friends were watching it. So I've been binge watching lately. And the British guy goes, well, I'm not even going to try the British accent. I've tried it before.
It's going to turn out vaguely Australian and Chinese.
Chinese, a mix between Australian, Chinese, and jive. He says, what? Game of Thrones? What is that shit? No, wait, that's not British.
That's the Mastodon.
Yeah, that's right. That's a 130,000-year-old Mastodon. I'm not British. I'm American. I was American before America was America. Bitch. So he goes, well, he's like, I watched a season of it, and he's like, I just came to the conclusion it's just tits and dragons. And I was like, oh my God, dude, tits and dragons. I said, we used to play Dungeons and Dragons when I was a kid. If there had been a game called Tits and Dragons, we would have been all over that. I mean, that's all we would have played.
As it was, I mean, back then, I would say it's a pretty safe bet that, yeah, whatever female character we ran into, NPC, was topless.
So, Cleavage so and yeah, Dragons.
We were playing. I did a, way back in the day when blogs were a thing, I did a whole blog about how what's missing from gaming today is boobs. Because when we were kids, what drew us into it was like, you know, nipple shots in like drawings in these, you know, game books. So, yeah, I think Tits and Dragons would have been a great name for the game.
Tits and Dragons.
Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Walk up on a village. This village seems to have a faint light coming from the cottages in the village. The cottages are made of a mixture of mud and grass and some sod, and the roofs are like a thatched roof style with straw and hay on the roofs. And as you walk through this town, the streets of the town are
are made of dirt, and there are ruts in the middle of the street where the wagons have gone through. And you notice as you walk through that there's a building toward the end, and it's on the right, about four buildings down. And you hear music faintly coming out of it, as if maybe there's a party in there. As you get closer, there's more of a warm light coming out, and more, and it's louder. You realize it's an inn with beverages, adult beverages and things. And so you, as you walk up to this inn, you see that there are two women standing on the porch outside of the inn, and they're both very beautiful, very buxom. And you know the word buxom? Never used that in a regular life. But it's in all these different novels and the games.
Yes,
and stuff.
It is. Don't stop. Keep going.
Okay,
man.
Sorry. In the pornography on the internet, they may call them busty. Another word we never use in our regular life, busty.
Hey, look at that busty babe over there. Babe, another word we don't. But on, when you're searching for porn, you want to see tits?
Come on, man. Big ones? Come on, I'm almost there.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
There. Keep going.
<No. clears throat> trying to stay focused.
Okay, stay you focused.
You walk up and there are these two buxom damsels standing up.
Call them wenches.
Uh-huh. Standing on the,
oh, yeah. On the, there we go. Yeah,
there's two wenches standing on the porch outside the inn, and they're wearing, one is wearing armor, an armored brassiere. And
brassieres are good. Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah. And they're both wearing the weird armor that's like a bikini bottom that only...
One of them has to be an elf. Come on, make one of them an elf.
One of them is an elf.
Oh. Keep going.
And the elf has a bow slung over her shoulder with a quiver of arrows
on
her back.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Quiver. And she's wearing those funny shoes with the pointy toes. And the weird thing is, it crosses your mind, they're like mostly naked, wearing like an armored bikini. What if somebody stabs them in the thigh? Why don't they get armor on their thigh? I don't understand.
It doesn't matter, because an armor class is an armor class. Keep going.
That's true. An armor class is an armor class. Okay. So as you get closer. Okay. Jeff, roll initiative. Jeff rolls initiative. Okay. All right. You made it. She takes her top off.
Just like that.
One of her large nipples hits you in the eye, and you take 1d4 damage. And you have to roll that 1d4 with that d4 in the weird. You got to pick it up. You got to kind of twist your wrist a little bit.
Kind of flip
it. Just roll
it
like a regular
flip.
If you roll it like a regular Monopoly die, it'll just slide across the table.
That's right.
You got to flip it.
You got to make it. It's that same flip. You, by the way, you're welcome. It's that same flip that you learned in college for flipping a bottle cap.
That's right. I still remember you teaching me how to roll a 4D. You're like, no, you got to pick it up. You got to flip it like that.
That's right. That was me. You got to flip it like a bottle cap. Yeah.
Remember that guy? The guy. I don't remember his name, but we were at Krieger in junior high.
Yeah.
And you let him run a campaign one time.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
I was going to hang myself from one of the drop ceiling tiles. I was just like...
I felt so bad, because he swore up and down he was so good. And I'm like, all right, I gave him the notes. I'm like, here, you run my game then. And I'm just like, I wanted to hang myself. I would have gladly failed the saving throw against death for that game session.
You walk up to this area, and there's like this soft light, and it's just a glowing sort of like, you know, when somebody leaves the bathroom light on at night, and when you get up, and you just like this soft sort of yellowish, you know, that yellowish light that you see sometimes. It's kind of yellow. And it's soft, And then there's like this mist, like a misty sort of like in the morning when the dew is out and it's kind of just rising off of the, sort of like if you ever been to a concert and they have the dry ice and the smoke comes across the stage, sort of like that. Like I was at this concert, it was Deep Purple and Alice Cooper, and they sort of did this mist across the stage, and it was shining the lights through it, like this yellowish light through it, and it kind of rolled off the stage. Yeah, no. Well, who do you like? What bands do you like? Led Zeppelin? Led Zeppelin probably has done it.
We're like, dude, we have 20 minutes for a lunch break.
I'm almost done with my Cheetos, man. And yeah, we got 20 minutes. And then I forgot his name, the vice principal guy, the mean guy. He's going to come in and make us go back to class. Oh, my God. I don't know, man. That was the closest I've ever come to being in Lord of the Flies. I mean, that school.
And you went through 2 years of junior high phys ed. That's the closest you came to Lord of the Flies.
Yes. No, I'm talking about junior high and, yeah, the whole experience.
Yeah,
not D&D. D&D was a respite from the Lord of the Flies. That's probably why we did it. I mean, that was a big reason why we did it.
I know that's why we did it.
Have to go to the cafeteria and all that.
Yeah.
With the rest of the assholes, you know? And, yeah, you remember that time? I think it was probably seventh grade. I'm in the bathroom, and this black dude coming in. Me and Wobshaw. John Wobshaw.
Okay.
In the bathroom.
Yeah.
Dude, and he's like, John Wobshaw was probably, I look at my daughter's in seventh grade. All right.
Mm-hmm.
She's still a little kid. And I'm thinking about being a little kid. And at the time, it didn't seem like I was a little kid. Like I'm in this big, mean school now. Right. This black dude comes in. He's like walking around going, hitting people in the back of the head and stuff. So I just turn around. I haul off and whack him in the side of the head. And he just stops, looks at me, looks up at me, and he just starts walking around me, like looking up at me. And then the principal comes in. He's like, "You kids, get to class." You know. So he leaves, and then he sticks his head back in. He goes, "You're in trouble from every N-word in this school." Well, he didn't say N-word. Every last one.
I didn't say fudge.
I was like, "Bring it on." Only I didn't say fudge. That was weird, man. I was suddenly racially profiled before that was a thing.
Yeah, you. Well, the cautionary tale that I tell my kids was,
oh man,
because they're in, you know, my son is in middle school right now, which is junior high for, you know, us. But I've told my kids the story about how when. We had gym class and it was raining out, so we had to play in the gym. And basically, Mr. King, maybe I think was the gym teacher. He basically just let us do whatever we wanted. And there I was, I'm walking across the gymnasium, and from out of nowhere, I get nailed in the back of the head with a football. And I grabbed it up off the ground, and as I've told my kids, I said, "Now your dad doesn't play sports. It doesn't mean he doesn't know how. He just doesn't." And I turned around, and there was this whole group of kids, and there was the one kid in the middle laughing. And I grabbed that ball, and I whipped it, and I hit him square in the head. Blam! Guess who got in trouble? Because that kid was on the football team. It's like... Junior high, middle school is the worst time of your life, and that's where, for people like us, that's where D&D came in as the thing that basically saved us from that stuff.
Yeah, wish I had those 2 years back,
dude. I would punch so many junior high kids in the face. If I could quantum leap. back into myself in junior high, there would be a whole bunch of people walking around holding their faces because it's a joke, but you're so traumatized by it. And like you, your daughter's in middle school, my son's in middle school, and we think back to how horrible it was, but it's like, man, just it's just terrible. It's the worst time to be alive, honestly.
I remember this eighth grade girl, or she might have been seventh grade, walking around pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking at my kids, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking at their friends, mm-hmm. and I'm going, what? Are kids younger these days than they were back then? You know? She's a mature 13.
That's what you call a callback. Well, all right, man. I think we're done for the day.
Yeah. So let's just wrap it up with, if you like Game of Thrones, you're going to love Worlds of Mibar and the new Aleph. Mm-hmm. I that, you know, that's called a tie-in, I think. No, it's good. It's good. My next question, I'm going to have to post it on the Facebook group for author A. William Wright, and it is, if he hates writing torture scenes so much, why did he write one? Right? Mm-hmm. And it may fall in the category of you have to wait and see, you know? Oh, and just, I know he listens, so I'll just let him know. I'll probably also send him a message, but he posted something to the effect of, you know, there was all that drama about being able to speak French in a good accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way he solved that problem was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where you go, you don't really have to do it. All you have to do is indicate that it has been done. The reader will fill in the rest. And you could probably interview 10 listeners, 100 listeners, and some large percentage of them will swear that you did speak French. You know?
Right. Right.
Just because we fill in the blanks. It's like the things that they used to show us when we were kids, like the drawing with missing pieces, and your brain just kind mm-hmm. of fills in the missing parts of the drawing.
Yeah.
All you had to do is have one of the characters say, you know, your French is perfect. And suddenly, I totally believe that there was some perfect French being spoken.
That is actually part of my artistic style, is I leave things out of it because your brain sees it even though it's not there. So that's pretty, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, I get it.
Like noses. You used to tell me that about noses. You're like,
mm-hmm.
don't draw a nose. Nobody sees a nose.
Yeah. unless you do it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So thanks to A. William for continuing to mention us. And I think he's our new MP Cavalier. We're just going to mention him every week.
I think he is.
Yeah. We always need someone's coattails to grab onto. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have one suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Or one request. If our listeners want to hear like more Tits and Dragons adventures, please let us know. Because we'll gladly do more Tits and Dragons.
Yeah, or just tits.
I think we'll do it whether they want to hear it or not, honestly.
Tits and Dragons it is. All right, head on over to don'tpanicradioshow.com to see even more craziness. Check out our Facebook group. If you're not a member, send us a note and we'll invite you. We'll add you to the group because, you know, there's some conversations that go on over there. It's more.
Oh, yeah.
It's more interactive than the page ever was. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So check it out. Would also like to send a shout out to the Giggle Snort Hotel staff. They're working hard. They depend on your tips. And
you better not.
To my friend Javi. For Paul Schultz, for Javi, for BJ Giggle Snort, for Uncle Mike and Pawpaw, and everyone's brothers and dads everywhere. I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing
you just heard
was true.